This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Mark Sanchez, former USC quarterback, of course, NFL quarterback with the Jets. He stopped by yesterday. We had a chance to sit down with him. And the first thing I asked Mark was, if you're walking around in Los Angeles, what do people say to you?
It's funny. It's hit or miss. Sometimes I get Matt Leinart. Sometimes I get Adrian Grenier from
Entourage.
Vinny Chase, yep.
Okay.
That's usually it.
Okay. What
Mario
do you,
Lopez.
No. What do you say when somebody says, hey, Matt Leinart?
Well, this is funny. I went to this business conference, and this guy comes and gives me a huge hug.
Oh, no.
Says, man, that apartment complex, I mean, I told you. It's blowing up. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you know, we went out on the apartment complex. It's doing so well. They got seven more. I mean, I'm making bank on that thing. You're in it, too. And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? And he finally goes, come on, man. Don't mess with Heisman guy. Now Heisman, now you're too big time. Like, I'm like, dude, I didn't win a Heisman. He's like, Matt. And I said, Mark. And he goes, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Just totally missed.
Good
but
month.
He was convicted.
Good. Oh, not a convicted fellow. No, he was
no,
just
no.
Convicted.
Sorry. Convicted.
Okay. Good month for USC football, wouldn't you say?
I think we're winning the offseason whatever. News media battle.
But
that's for sure. And transfer portal.
What does Lincoln Riley's style mean?
You know, I think most importantly, it seems like things are shifting the way it was when I was coming out of high school. And that was Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart. That was the only place to go, right? Like if you're a SoCal quarterback, you look nowhere else. It was Norm Chow. It was Steve Sarkisian. It was Pete Carroll. That's where you wanted to be. And for a long time now, I mean, look at all the guys in the SEC. Georgia took the kid from Notre Dame, JT Daniels. The kid from Clemson, Uiagalelei, is from Bosco, right, Orange County, L.A. And then Bryce Young's Notre Dame. And these guys are across the country.
How did they get out of Southern California?
That's the problem, is it wasn't a desirable place to go. And
why does
it
Lincoln
wasn't a
make...
quarterback factory anymore. But now it's Kyler, it's Baker Mayfield, it's Jalen Hurts. Where else are you going to go? If you're a quarterback, that's the guy. So hopefully that brings people back and reminds them that they don't have to leave. Because if we just keep California, even just if you cut California in half and took the southern part, I mean, we're competitive now, but all these guys are leaving.
Who was runner-up for you coming out of high school?
Runner-up? What do you mean? Next school.
Yeah.
I went to Texas, Ohio State, Notre Dame. I looked at UCLA briefly, but Mack Brown was great. He was hard to say no to. But Jim Tressel, I remember, we were in the horseshoe. They had the band. I had an Ohio State jersey. They put my highlight tape up on the Megatron or whatever. They audio dubbed Keith Jackson's voice over it, and it was supposed to be like the Rose Bowl, and then they were showing my high school highlights on this thing. And I was like, I'm a Buckeye. Done deal. Done deal. I hear Keith Jackson, the young sophomore from Southern California, you know? And I was like, wow. And we're in Trestle's office, and I'm like, this is it. Like, I'm about to sign a paper, and I'm going to be a Buckeye. And then he said, you know, it's awesome. Every year we play Michigan right around Thanksgiving. 10 years in a row. Great football weather. It's been snowing every game. And I was like, what? I looked at my dad. I was like, what did he say? I was like, snow? We got to drive to Big Bear for snow. Like, what is the snow?
I'm going to Mammoth.
Yeah, I was like, I'm out.
So
that was pretty funny. That really just changed my mind right there.
Wait, did you do any research on what weather's like in Columbus?
It's silly now, looking back. I'm like, what a moron. But I didn't. You look at the jerseys, you look at the coaches, you look at, okay, what am I going to do here? You know, it's a good education, great. I didn't think twice about the weather. No clue.
Name, image, and likeness, mm-hmm. and where it's going, because Caleb Williams is really the first true free agent we've probably seen. I'm curious what he got from USC.
Yeah.
Because everything's legal now, right?
I mean, I just feel like here in L.A., you have so much to offer these kids. You know, you can go speak at a Boosters golf tournament now, 10 grand, bam. Like, you could get maybe 20 grand. So you're doing five quick little talks, playing a golf tournament. There's 100 grand right there. I mean, go sign some autographs at a dealership. Like, it's so easy now.
But how did the SEC master this? I mean, Young reportedly got $1.3 million from Alabama.
And those are just guaranteed deals, I'm sure. Like,
he was making more than Jalen Hurts was as an NFL quarterback last year, Mark.
I believe it. I just saw that soundbite of Jimbo Fisher. Did you see that? Clown act.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
He wants everybody to think I'm a great recruiter and we would never pay for anybody.
I mean, come on.
Come on. They got oil money down there, Mark.
It's legal now.
Yes.
You know, like, just let it go. Like, it's on.
Because now you just sort of say, all right, what do you got for me?
Exactly. And the parents, you know, this transfer portal thing is interesting, too, because I feel like the parents, even when I was coming out, like, parents like to be recruited. You know, they want to know how good Johnny is, you know? And now these kids, like, play a little bit their first year, boom, and they're in the portal just to go on trips again, just to go visit. And okay, what do you have for me? Well, they said they got 30. You only have 20. You know, it's unbelievable, but it's legal.
I saw Kenny Pickett went to the Senior Bowl, and of course he's got small hands, Mark. So thoughts and prayers for Kenny Pickett.
Sure.
But then you hear he's the most ready quarterback. And how important, you got big hands.
I have massive hands.
Yes. So, obviously, you have to have massive hands to play in the NFL.
I mean, I think it's a huge advantage. You know, a slick ball when it's wet in the elements, it helps. Favre, really big hands. And his thumb, it was like his thumb on his throwing hand that was like extra long. It was really weird. But I played golf with him one time, and I kind of looked at it like, huh. Must have been it.
Yeah.
Because he got some extra juice on the ball. But it's something. It's not everything, but it definitely helps.
But when you went to the combine, mm-hmm. like, what stood out that you realized, boy, that this means a little bit more than it should?
Yeah, I remember you go. So if you have an injury, I had dislocated my patella on my left leg. Whatever injury you have, they look at. And 32 team doctors will go and crank on it. And by the end of that day, this thing was a basketball. Because I had heard it my senior year at SC. So I'm like, dude, I got to run a 40 tomorrow. There's no way. I got to drop back and throw. I mean, we were icing that thing, massaging that thing like crazy. Because they were just pulling on it, pushing on it, prodding it. How does this feel? How does this feel? Extend, contract, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, you're like a lab rat. And it was awful. I mean, it was still so swollen when I was running and everything. It sucks. That was the worst part.
Paul, you got Mark's measurables?
Of course I do. Mark Sanchez coming out of USC measured 10.5 inches on your hand size, which is tied for 10th all-time in combine history. Congratulations.
Thank you. I was growing them out for the combine. Yeah. So.
What you got is 40 there?
488.
I got 488, yeah.
Okay. Where's that rank with other USC quarterbacks? Carson was faster than that.
Carson's definitely faster than that. Liner, that had to be faster than Liner. If it wasn't, I would be pissed.
Matt Barkley?
Gotta be.
I don't know. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, 4.9 seconds for Matt Liner.
Yes.
Yes, you owned him.
Two-tenths.
You owned him.
Take that.
Mark is joining us on behalf of Papa John's, celebrating its New York-style pizza. Fans' unique pizza rituals and a special giveaway. I'll let you take the sales pitch from there.
Yeah, let's go. So basically, Super Bowl Sunday, number one day to order pizza. They just introduced this New York-style pizza, you know, $13, 8 huge slices, folded in half, dip it in the garlic sauce. There's nothing better. So basically what they want you to do is, for a chance to win pizza, free pizza for an entire year, you can upload your pictures of you eating this New York-style pizza on Instagram, Twitter, and hashtag sweepstakes, hashtag what's your style, and they will pick a winner.
And obviously you brought in some pizza for us.
Let's go.
Where's the...
Hello?
You didn't bring any... You know who would have brought pizza? Matt Liner.
Oh, yeah. It would have been slow.
If I gave you Joe Burrow or Matthew Stafford for this game.
I hate betting against Joe Burrow. I love that kid, man. I sat down with him right before he has this incredible ascension at LSU. Obviously, I'm not taking credit for it, but I went to go visit Eddie O. Ed Ogeron.
And Seton does Ed O.
It's a great.
Let's hear a little Coach Ogeron.
Hey. Well, Dan, I was just saying.
Hey, thought you were doing Papa John's.
So answer it if you were Coach O talking about Joe Burrow.
Well, Joe, number one, go Tigers. And Joe, he got the eye of the tiger. He got a heart like a lion. And he love him some gumbo.
who would you take Sunday?
Listen, I love Joe. I think he's so impressive, especially 9 sacks in that divisional game. Are you kidding me? And that dude didn't even flinch. Most quarterbacks, your eyes just start dropping. Okay, I'm guilty of it. Tom Brady's guilty of it. You name it. You get hit that many times, you stop looking downfield and you're like, damn, I got to find a throwing lane because I'm going to get my head taken off. He didn't flinch. So I love him. I'd love to see him do well. I just think he's going to get another crack at it. And Stafford and I came in the same year. I just really want it. I want it for him. Okay. I really want him to win it. He's been through so much in Detroit, and it finally worked out. You know, everybody said, well, if he was with another corner, if he had a supporting cast, well, now he does. So I'd love to see him win.
Did you ever get too cocky beating Brady? Did you ever feel like...
No way. It was... It's so funny because when you look at people like that, him, you know, Kobe, Jordan, like those kind of people, players talk about playing those guys and they know they got to be perfect. And you're hoping he screws up once, you know, you're hoping we get a interception on a screen pass by David Harris, who got caught by Algie Crumpler, by the way. What? He should have taken that in for a touchdown. I think we missed a field goal on that. Or we did something, but I missed a throw, but basically it was crappy. But you just know everything's got to line up, and you got to hope for a bad one from him. And that was so impressive to me, that sustained greatness, that sustained success. It's incredible.
Did you beat him?
What do you mean?
How many times did you beat him head
to head? Oh, well, we beat him at home my rookie year, my second year, and then we beat him in the playoffs. So, like, the first
But you're not
couple years,
starting to
we
feel
three
yourself,
three.
Like, you know, all right.
You know what I didn't realize? I didn't realize, like, I knew what it was, but I really didn't. Now, looking back, you're like, damn, that was just the first part of his three Hall of Fame career. You know, like part one. That was just part one. And I didn't realize it because we beat him at home the first time. So it didn't register. It was just, you know, this is a big rivalry and everybody was talking about it, but we beat him. So it was like, whatever. I don't know. It was really strange those first couple of years. And then after the first two or three, I mean, we just got smoked. It was rough.
It's great to see you again. Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming out. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. right now. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. I don't know if you've heard this before, but Clayton Kershaw is a really good friend, high school friend with Matthew Stafford, the Rams quarterback. And maybe Stafford's playing, staying in his house this week. I don't know. But Clayton Kershaw, the Dodger great, kind enough to join us. Boy, nobody brings up Matthew Stafford to you at all this week, I'm going to guess. Right, Clayton?
First time today, Dan. Yeah. Appreciate that.
So your wife and kids don't bring it up. I'm the first one to bring it up to you.
That's right.
When did you know that he was going to be great as a quarterback?
I mean, basically as soon as we started playing football. You know, around here in Texas, we do six-man football in fourth grade, and he was throwing the ball. I mean, I don't know. He was throwing the ball further than everybody else. And then actually, we did track meets in elementary school, and instead of the shot put, we did the softball throw. And the softball throw, he just dominated that too. So he's always had a great arm. And then he actually is pretty smart too. So figured out the whole football thing pretty good.
He's pretty smart. Yeah. What position did you play?
So I was the center, man.
Of course you were.
Yeah, I was the center. So freshman year football was the last year I played football. And Matthew was on the freshman team for like four or five games, and then he was up to varsity pretty quick. But center. It was great.
But you got a good arm. How does your arm compare to Stafford's?
Well, I could throw a baseball. I played quarterback like fourth, fifth grade, and that was about as far as I went. Then I started getting a little chunkier, and the line was starting to be a little more of my calling.
Wait, so you're the guy that just said, we'll just put you on the line, the big kid.
Yeah, I don't think of it like that. I think they're like, hey, you can really remember all the plays, and you got a little bit of athleticism, but ultimately it was, hey, you're a big guy, so you're going to go play line.
Are you going to the Super Bowl?
I am. I'm going to go. I'm excited about it.
Are you a seat guy or a suite guy?
I wasn't too picky for the Super Bowl. I was just like, I'll just get in the game. But I'm a seat guy this time. I'm going to be in the seats.
Okay. Do you reach out to Stafford and say, hey, can you hook me up?
Yeah, I was like, Matthew, are you busy this week? I know we text every 2 months, but if you can get me a few tickets. I actually went through the Rams and bought some tickets, so I'm excited.
Okay, but when you're in the World Series, do you hook up Stafford to come and watch?
I don't think he would need me to hook him up, but yeah, I would. I mean, yeah, he needed me to.
You know, we changed our opinion, or I think a lot of people changed our opinion of you and your career when you won the World Series. I don't know. Do you feel different as an athlete that you finally win, and does that change anything?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think no matter how well you do in your career, when you finally do what you want to do and win the whole thing, there's just, for me, there was obviously a burden lifted. I mean, I just felt a sense of relief to finally get it done. And Matthew's in a little different boat because he's been good for so long. It's just the Lions, you know, he didn't really have a support system around him. So this is the first year where, you know, the team kind of matches up to his talent level, and you know, he's obviously favored to win. So it's I'm excited for him. It'll be really fun to watch.
But also, do you think people view you differently? Do you get a different sense when, you know, the media?
Probably media wise, you know, when it ultimately comes down to whether you won the one or you didn't, and how you succeeded in the postseason or you didn't. So, I mean, I think definitely winning helped that for me for sure.
But would you rather be on the doorstep going to the playoffs, going to the World Series, even if you lost? Whereas Matthew wasn't even getting into the playoffs for a chance to win a championship.
Yeah, I'll say this 1,000 times. You know, I'd much rather continue to have success and then fail over and over again to continue to get there, because that's what you play for. You know, you want to be there. And failure's a part of athletics. It's a part of sports. And I think it's a great lesson. I learned a lot of things failing as many times as I did. So obviously, I don't recommend it. I mean, if you can just win it, you should just win it. But when I finally did, it was pretty special.
Yeah, but failing is a strong word.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, when you're on the Dodgers and you make the playoffs every year, the World Series is your expectation. And, you know, I heard some guys talking about that with the Rams as well, is like this team was built not to make the playoffs. It was built to win the Super Bowl. And, you know, the trades that they made and the first round picks that they gave up. And that's kind of the way we were, too.
Talking to Clayton Kershaw, the three-time Cy Young Award winner. Are you going to wear a Stafford jersey to the game?
Thought about that. You know, the baseball jersey is a lot more comfortable because of the buttons in the front. You can kind of wear it as a jacket almost. The football jerseys are a little tight fit. I might just go hoodie, but I haven't really made up my mind. That's a good question.
You know what? Since you're probably not going to get in your uniform anytime soon, given what's going on in baseball, why don't you just wear your full uniform to the stadium? And nobody's going to think, Clayton, boy, that guy looks like Clayton Kershaw. They'd never think that you would wear your full uniform.
That's a great point. think about it for sure.
You know, have eye black on there. Speaking of the baseball situation, how are you updated on what is going on?
Yeah, you know, I just listened to Walker Buehler. Unfortunately, Walker is our player rep, so he's kind of in all the meetings and kind of doing the stuff. And I've kind of been that guy in the past, you know, 2011, 2016, when they were going through the labor agreements, I was kind of the guy for the Dodgers, and I've kind of passed the baton. So now I'm pretty removed, honestly, from the situation and get updates. But as far as the day-to-day, I am not involved this time at all.
But you don't know what the future, the immediate future is, but how does this affect how you prepare for this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, we have to continue to prepare like we're going to play, you know, and at this point, I mean, it's February 9th. Like, there's no way we're going to be in spring training in a week. But I hope we're in spring training soon, you know, so we get the season started on time, because ultimately that's the goal. So I'm continuing to prepare like we're going to start on time. But each day it just seems like we're getting further and further from that.
What did you keep from winning the World Series?
What did I keep? I think I kept my jersey, and then I don't know. Your director is going to get mad at me, but I'm going to move my Zoom. So I have the World Series trophy right there.
Ooh,
yeah. So
I got Kobe Bryant. Wait, what else you got there? Be a tour guide here.
You want to be a tour guide?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So
I don't know how well you can. Can you see all that? That's kind of my.
Yeah.
That's all I allow to be put up, because everything else just feels like it's just too much. So I just do that.
Okay.
But I have the Kobe and the Jordan jersey are probably my two favorite things up there. I think that's pretty awesome.
Nice. And then you got a basketball?
Yeah, that's Magic. I got a Magic basketball.
Okay.
And I got a John Wooden basketball over there in the top left.
Oh, now we're showing off.
John Wooden is like he's awesome. What he stood for, just so great.
I met him, I don't know how many years ago, but I got to visit him. He lived in a small condominium, and I did an interview with him outside, and he realized I really knew the history of UCLA basketball. And he said, would you like to come in, and I'll make you a sandwich? So here I am.
Yeah.
Like, yes, of course. And we go in, and he opens up his scrapbooks. He makes me a pimento cheese sandwich. I don't even like pimento, but it's the best damn sandwich I ever had. And I got to open up this scrapbook, and I'm there with John. It's one of those out-of-body experiences, because I'm a reporter. I'm just a kid reporter, and I'm going, I'm in John. I stayed for over 2 hours.
That's amazing.
It was just a wonderful experience, and you know, so I understand, you know, that.
Yeah, the Dodgers had like a leadership program, like right as you're coming up or a rookie, and we got to have dinner. There was like 15 of us that got to have dinner with John Wooden one night too, and it was towards the end of his life, but he talked to us, took the time to like meet each one of us, and just such an amazing man. It was awesome.
How well did you know Kobe?
I didn't know him super well. I got to meet him twice, and kind of the same thing, just an admiration for his work ethic, honestly. I mean, I think that's what I admired most, and obviously like how much the competitive drive and the spirit, but you know, being in LA, that's what you hear. You hear Kobe, Kobe, Kobe. And so I got to know him just through being out there. Man, special.
What about Jordan? How'd you get the jersey?
I don't even know how I got that, but I've never met Michael Jordan. But you know, to me he's the best. So I never met him though.
Wait, how do you get a Jordan jersey and you don't remember? You're gonna have a story with that.
I mean, I didn't like chase him down in the parking lot. I don't know how I did it, but it was probably some type of silent auction, charity event or something like that.
What? Your house is quiet. Where are the kids?
Yeah, not usually. No, we got two kids in school right now, and then one is playing upstairs, and then we got a 2-month-old, so we got four now.
Oh man. No!
Yeah, well, yeah, in it.
Yeah, you caught me. I got four. Good luck.
That's awesome.
Good luck.
Awesome.
Winning a World Series, the easy part, Clayton.
I'm finding that out.
Thanks for joining us. Great to catch up with you, and hopefully we have baseball at some point this year. And have fun on Sunday.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
That's Clayton Kershaw. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Let's bring on the former Bengal quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner here in town at USC, Raider quarterback, Arizona Cardinal quarterback, and a guy who's been a great contributor to this program. Let's bring him on. Carson Palmer is in the building.
Good to see you, boys. Good
got
to
a,
see you.
Got a pair of freshies, fresh shoes on there.
Fresh J's?
Yeah.
Some fresh J's. I've been saving these for your show.
They look good.
In person.
They look good.
Thank you.
We saw Mark Sanchez. He came in yesterday, and he had his Nikes, and he had the swoosh that was USC colors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had fresh shoes on as well.
Proud trophy.
Did admit you were faster than him. Barely.
Was.
Yeah.
Was.
You're probably still faster than him, I'm going to guess. He might have had bigger hands than you.
I doubt that.
I don't know.
Do you have a ruler?
He had paws. I mean, he had some paws there.
But well, see, you didn't just shake Carson's hand. His hands are gigantic. You have big hands.
Mark Sanchez.
Good size paws. Good size paws.
Okay, check the combine here because I might go Sanchez, Paulie.
I have from the combine the 10th highest best hand size of all time is Mark Sanchez at 10.5 inches.
What? Yeah.
I'm not in the top 10.
I have you at 10.25, but I don't know if that's official.
Wow.
But check the 40 times.
He did admit. I mean, that's the one thing Sanchez has on you is he has bigger hands.
Okay.
That's it.
I'll take speed over hand size.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Does hand size matter?
It does. Especially when you play on the East Coast in the wind, in the rain. It just helps you get a little bit better grip. And you just don't see that many guys in the league right now with, I don't know what the top 10 is, 10-something inches, but you don't see many guys in the 8s and 9s. It just gets more and more difficult with the wind to spin it.
And Aaron Rodgers has big hands. He's talked about that he liked the football inflated a little bit more. And then you have the story with Kenny Pickett. We're like, oh, my God, he didn't want to get his hands measured. That's a nail. I guess he puts his hands in his pockets at the combine. Like, I don't want to have you measure my hands. Like, my stock is going to drop.
It does. I mean, there's so many coaches. There's so many organizations that are looking at that number, and that's an extremely important statistic for those guys.
Why didn't you run more?
Well, I did run a bit, and then I blew my knee out, and everything changed after that. I lost a little bit of speed. It took me a couple years. That's what blows me away about Joe Burrow right now is he blew his knee out last year, mid-season, and you don't see any ramifications from that injury. You don't see him tentative. You don't see him, you know, a lot of times you'll have an issue stepping into throws, transferring your weight, turning on that front leg and that knee spinning and rotating. you're not seeing it all with Joe. I felt it for at least a couple years, and it took me a couple years to really feel 100%. With Joe right now, he looks 100%. He looks like he did at LSU or before the knee injury with Cincinnati.
Paulie, give Carson the poll question.
Okay, which quarterback would you bet on? You got to bet on who would have the most Super Bowl appearances in the next decade going forward, Super Bowl appearances. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes.
I think I like what's going on in Buffalo. I like the combination of ownership, GM, coaching staff, and quarterback with Josh Allen. I think the ceiling is extremely high. Not that it's not high with Burrow. I think he's got an extremely high ceiling. But when you combine the ownership group, coaching staff, and the division, you've got Miami still trying to figure it out for Josh Allen. You've got New England, who is still New England, but they don't have Tom Brady. Who else am I missing in the AFC East?
The Jets, Dolphins.
You got the Jets. I like that setup for Josh to get in the playoffs, and I think we'll see him in at least one Super Bowl, if not more, coming up.
See, I said Mahomes just because you still have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Nobody has that.
For a couple years, until Tyreek Hill has to get paid, until Travis Kelce's next deal up. They've got some issues. They're paying Patrick, they're paying him a much different salary than Joe Burrow's getting right now. So Joe Burrow's got him. He's got that going for himself, salary cap wise. But I just think Josh Allen's ceiling is only going to get higher. We're going to see him continue to get better, and we haven't seen the best of him yet. And it's been really good so far.
But it feels like that window of opportunity is about 5 years. That you get that rookie contract with your quarterback, mm-hmm. because that's how Seattle won with Russ. Once you start paying these guys, it's really hard to pay everybody else. The Bengals are in really good shape right now. Justin Herbert with the Chargers, they're in really good shape right now. But then that's going to change when those guys get paid $50 million a year.
You know, I think the most interesting thing after the Super Bowl, whether the Bengals win or not, is the Bengals are going into next season with $58 or $59 million in cap space. They've got Joe Burrow, who is watching what they do. When you look at this Bengals roster, before the season started, this was not a Super Bowl roster. There was not many people saying, oh, man, look how deep the Bengals are. Look how talented they are. Nobody saw this coming. Joe Burrow is watching how the organization goes forward after this season. He wants to know what they're going to do with that $60 million in cap space. His deal's up is in 2 years. He can sign a big extension in 2 years, and he is really, really watching. Are the Bengals going to do what they did in the past, which is just kind of sit around and wait in the draft and hope somebody falls to them? Are they going to make a little bit of a splash in free agency? This is a chance where they can rebuild that offensive line, get another good swing tackle, get another pass rusher on defense. They've got a lot of cap space going into next year, and nobody is more curious what they're going to do with it than Joe.
Yeah, and you went through this because mm-hmm. the Bengals are a cheap organization, or they have been, and you have this opportunity. And you're right. If I'm Joe Burrow, like let's take advantage of this opportunity. Plus, I'm going to guess free agents are going to want to play for a team that's led by Joe Burrow.
Receivers, offensive linemen, you know, guys want to get to the Super Bowl. And Joe looks like he's got that magic. He's got the charisma. He's now done it. He's gotten here. And the Bengals in the past haven't pulled out the checkbook and written big checks and signed a, you know, you got Chandler Jones, who's a great pass rusher that's a free agent. There's some game changers.
Devontae Adams
is another weapon. I mean, if I'm Joe, I'm looking at, Brandon Scherff, who's in Washington, who was a top 10 pick, who's been a great guard and all pro. He's a free agent. There's some tackles that are free. So there's enough pieces to continue to build on this current roster that got to a Super Bowl that nobody thought was going to get them to a Super Bowl. So Joe's watching that, and we're all watching as Bengal fans. We want to see them make some moves in free agency, not, you know, sit around in the draft and hope somebody falls to them. Get aggressive and continue to build on what they've got started here.
We're talking to Carson Palmer, joining us on behalf of Level Select CBD. Make sure you use the promo code Carson40. Growing up in Cincinnati, and I tell this story often on the show, if you say you're from Cincinnati, people go, oh, the Bungles. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be the first thing that they would say. As the quarterback for Cincinnati, when you guys weren't playing well, what is that feeling like every single day when you're walking around or your wife will hear something? Just being the quarterback for a team that, you know, people around the league would laugh at.
It's frustrating. And we heard Joe talk about it early. He got tired of the narrative of the same old Bengals. He's talked about as soon as they beat the Raiders in the playoffs, he started talking about changing the narrative. And we're a different team. We're a different organization than we were in the past. You know, being in Cincinnati, the fan base there is so passionate and love. You didn't hear that in Cincy as much as when you would travel or you go to California or you go to these different places and somebody go, oh, you play for the Bengals. It's not that. It's not so much the case in Cincinnati. There's so much passion. That's why this Super Bowl is so excited. This fan base deserves this. They've been waiting 30-something years for this. They've never won a Lombardi Trophy. So it's an exciting time to be in Cincinnati. It's an exciting time to be a Bengal. And, I mean, for Joe to be here in year two, this is the beginning of a Tom Brady-like legacy. You know, Tom got in early, won his first one early, and then continued to stack trophies after that. Joe's in that same category of can he continue to build after this game? Can he win multiple Super Bowls? He's not wanting to win one. Joe's got a different mindset. He's a different individual. He's seeing multiple championships, and this is the start of them.
What's going on with Kyler Murray and the Cardinals that he has now scrubbed his social media of anything that's related to the Arizona Cardinals?
I think it looks like a contract play to me. I mean, obviously he's you know, upset, displeased with his current negotiation between his agent and the organization.
He just wants to up this. He wants to get a head start and get that, like Josh Allen got in Buffalo. He wants a year early.
He wants it today. He didn't want to wait an extra year. And say what you want, how different guys go about getting that next contract. It certainly, to me, looks like a contract move, and he's trying to leverage himself and position himself for a contract this upcoming season.
Have we seen the best of Kyler Murray?
We have at times.
I don't know what the ceiling is for a quarterback who plays that way, that style, and his strengths and weaknesses.
Well, you're seeing his weaknesses in the last couple games. Teams are not letting him outside the pocket. He is not 6'7". He's not 6'2". He's not really 6 feet tall. So what they're doing is keeping him in the pocket. Unfortunately, from a contractual situation for Kyler, that was his chance. The playoffs were his chance against the Rams to get a new contract this year. Unfortunately, he did not play well. They did not play well. He lost a ton of leverage. And when you're a player in the league and your contract is coming up or you have a chance to sign a new contract and you have leverage, you've got to take advantage of it. He did not take advantage of the situation. All the leverage was on his side. All he had to do was play well. They could still have lost the Rams, but he had to play well. He lost all the leverage he had going into it, and it's unfortunate because you don't get it very often. When you're a player and you're coming up on a deal, that leverage is massive, and the weight that carries throughout the organization is massive, and when it's on your side, you got to take advantage of it. He lost a lot of leverage in that playoff game.
Well, same with Baker Mayfield. He lost all of his leverage this year by being banged up, and I think that's why he kept trying to play, is I want to get some leverage here, and it only made it worse.
Same deal, and both organizations are in the same spot. They've got to pay Baker, and they've got to pay Kyler. Both of those organizations, you cannot, regardless of how poorly Baker played or how bad that playoff game went for Kyler, you got to pay him. You took him number one. You're not going to go back to the drawing board and start all over and try to find the next guy. They've got to pay him. Both of those guys lost some money and left some money on the table with their performance this year.
Brady mentioned on his podcast that Never Say Never. So he's only been home for 6 days. Now all of a sudden he's reconsidering. Like, what is it like when you retired, that first month you're at home? What's it like?
It was awesome. I wasn't at home. We traveled. We went up to Lake Tahoe. I played I did a lot of things I've been wanting to do. I love to hunt and fish, and hunting and fishing season, for the most part, is during football season. So as soon as I didn't have a job playing football, I did a lot of the things with my family, with some buddies that I wanted to do that I wasn't able to do for, you know, 25 years of playing football. So I think, you know, Brady is a habitual creature, a creature of habit. He likes to do the same thing over and over and over again. Now that that's not there and he's just gotten a very short taste of it, I think there's a thought in his head like, man, you know, I could win eight. Maybe I could win eight. Let's see what happens with Chris Godwin. Are they going to re-sign Chris Godwin in Tampa? Are they going to re-sign Ryan Jensen, the center in Tampa? maybe he's waiting to sit back and see what happens. He's getting a little bored. He's used to starting, you know, whatever point in the offseason he starts training again and doing his flexibility
work. But
then
don't announce you're retiring if you're still not fully retired.
It's hard to give it up. It's hard when you've been doing it for 20-something years.
And at that level, I mean, those numbers, he could easily be the MVP this year.
It's hard to retire on top, too. It's hard to retire. It's really hard to retire on top. I, at the end, was done. My body was done. I was beat up. I physically knew. He's walking off the field probably feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, a little banged up, a little beat up from playing a long season. But now that his body's recovered, he's starting to feel a little bit better. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him come back.
How did the Rams win this game?
Up front. Defensively up front. The weakest part of the Bengals is the offensive line. They sacked Joe Burrow 9 times. When you think about getting sacked 9 times in a game, it's demoralizing as a quarterback.
This has never happened before, I don't think. You have the guy who was sacked the most times this season playing in the Super Bowl, and the guy who led the league in interceptions is playing in the Super Bowl. That doesn't happen at that position.
No. Yeah. No, it's been a weird season. It's been an amazing season. But when you watch this Bengals team, the Achilles heel of this team all year long has been the offensive line. Joe Burrow's overcome it. Joe Mixon's overcome it with just stellar play and being a little bit quicker, a little bit faster. You've seen Joe changing protections at the line of scrimmage. We saw him do it in the AFC Championship game, you know, on the road in Arrowhead Stadium. So he's got complete grasp and control of what's going on around him. He can't overcome Aaron Donald just overpowering the center and bull rushing him and ending up in his lap. That is what's this game's going to come down to. Can they get the ball out quick enough? Can they run some screens? Can they run the ball against Aaron Donald? And can they not give up 6-plus sacks against Von Miller on one side and then Aaron Donald on the other?
And plus, you know, you got Jalen Ramsey saying, hey, bring it on, Ja'Marr Chase. Now, do you avoid Jalen Ramsey?
You can't avoid Jalen Ramsey because, you know, at the end of the day, we're probably going to see Jalen Ramsey trying to match up with Chase. If you watch these last 3 games, they were moving Chase all over the field. He was motioning. He was in the backfield. He was in the slot. He was out wide. He was on the 3-receiver side. They did such a good job trying not to let any individual defender match up. At some point, you're going to run into different situations where you just can't continue to move Chase. You've got to line him up and run a play. That's when you're going to see Ramsey on him. But Ramsey's built for the Megatron, the 6'4". He's built for T. Higgins. He struggles against short, quick, fast receivers. And that's typical. I mean, most big, long cornerbacks struggle with the short guys. They do really well against the big physical receivers. So it's not a great matchup for Jalen Ramsey. There's a quickness dynamic to Chase. There's a speed dynamic to Chase. He's got to play off him a little bit. So I wouldn't avoid him. I like that matchup from the Bengals standpoint of Chase against Ramsey.
Okay. Before we let you go, the longest run of Carson Palmer's career.
Oh, want to guess that one, Dan?
Yeah.
I can give you a hint. It was with the Cardinals, and you were 37 years old.
Mm. Wheels. I had wheels when I was
How many yards, Carson?
I'm going to say 4.
Wait, the longest run of your career?
6.
16 yards.
16?
Yeah, 16 yards.
Wow.
That was probably at the end of a half when they were playing pre-event defense, and I didn't want to risk throwing a pick on a Hail Mary, so I just ran and got out of bounds.
Wow,
and got 16. I'll take it. 16's good.
Yeah.
You were Josh Allen before Josh Allen with that running ability. Do you do a drive-by at USC, just go in and touch the Heisman there?
I'm actually driving by the Coliseum today. We'll swing. I got my son with me, my son Fletch is with me, so we'll roll up to the SC campus and do a quick tour. But I don't think you can touch it. I think it's in a case.
Oh.
Which,
well,
by the way.
Oh, no.
It showed up. It got there. It made its way to me. But the front plaque was broken off of it.
Oh, jeez.
You didn't have it in a case in the man cave?
We put it in the case.
No, no. I'm talking about like a clear case where nobody can touch it.
I don't know. What, Paulie?
I thought Fritzy was in charge of the case.
That was Fritzy.
And I delegated it to the back room.
Yeah, the back room got. Can you get it fixed?
I fixed it.
Oh,
God.
How much was it?
I just had to get some new screws for it. We're all good.
Okay.
Though. We're all good.
All right.
We're all good.
I'll pay for the screws.
Cool.
Damn. I'm so glad you got that thing back. I love that you loaned the Heisman to us, but man, when that was going back and then we couldn't find it and then you were going to the College Football Hall of Fame, it wasn't worth it. It was not worth it. Level Select CBD. Go use the promo code Carson40. We want to thank Level Select all season long. Great partner, and you too. You've made us smarter every Monday as we recap football. Have a great weekend with your son, and thanks for joining us.
You as well. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
Oh, Paulie wants to place a bet with me. All right. I'll pay for your dinner tonight.
Ooh.
But what do I get if I'm right?
I don't want to pay for your dinner because I know how that may turn out for me.
Okay. I won't order wine.
I'll buy you a nice bottle of wine back home.
Okay.
Nice for me. Maybe not. $100 bottle
of wine. Okay, then that's good. All right.
Does Al Michaels eat a meal before, during, or before?
Well, you can't do before. You're changing it. It's during the Super Bowl. Will Al Michaels eat during the Super Bowl?
I'm fairly confident Al does eat before and after the Super Bowl.
Okay, between kickoff and the final whistle, does Al eat? I'll say yes.
All right. I'll say no. Al Michaels, he'll be calling the Super Bowl. He joins us, his 11th Super Bowl, tying Pat Summerall for the most by a TV play-by-play voice. Al, will you be eating during Super Bowl 56?
Dan, I love my partner. Chris Collinsworth is like a brother. somehow, some way, he once said, I eat a whole meal during the game. Not true. I have a few Junior Mints. I have some grapes. I might have a Snackwell cookie. That's it. Chris is the guy who eats like a horse before the game. Sushi, pasta, all of the rest.
Okay.
That is fake news.
Okay.
I will not be having a meal during the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Okay. To the judges. So who won the bet?
Well, I don't think a snack is a meal.
I don't either. Fritzy?
I don't.
Hello.
A
snack. I'm a winner.
Sorry, Paul.
Al. Yeah.
I like how Paulie goes, before, during, or after the Super Bowl. By the way, Al, on this date, back in 2006, you know what happened?
2006. I think I left Disney to go to NBC.
Yep. Yep.
Correct. And there was a rabbit involved in it, a cartoon rabbit.
And you were ending a 20-year run on Monday Night Football. Now, I'm just bringing that up. No reason at all that, you know, maybe you're joining another network or something on, you know, close to this anniversary, Al.
I have, as you well know, put all of that behind me. If you start thinking about other things, I promised myself this year not to be distracted. And I will not be distracted until Monday when I can have a ton of distractions in my life. But I don't want anything before Sunday, Dan. I'm working like a maniac. I mean, look, well, for your television audience, I mean, I have like 9,000 pages of information ready to go for this game, the best stories. But all of them will wind up, you know, on the cutting room floor, as they say. Because as John Madden said years ago, we come armed for war. We have everything available to us. And then, as John would say, a game breaks out. And you do the game.
But also, well, do you prepare for a blowout?
Well, I don't think you prepare for necessarily a blowout. You prepare for the game, period. You hope the game is great. And if it's a blowout, then we're ready to go in a different direction. It almost becomes, Chris and I, we laughed about it because we did have a blowout in the Christmas weekend game between Dallas and Washington. And then it became almost like talk radio. You're going back and forth. Fortunately for me, I've done 10 Super Bowls, and six of them have gone down to the very end, including the last four. And I look at it this way, too, Dan. I don't think the NFL has ever been hotter than it is right now, Dan. I mean, people are just talking about these last six games have been fantastic. And I'm just hoping that we get the lucky seventh. And it's not like when you go to the crap table and you've got a great run going, and then you throw a seven. And the dealer says seven out, line in, new shooter. We don't need that. We need the lucky seven this week.
How important is it for you to meet with coaches or quarterbacks to glean information from them?
Very. And we will. We're going out to see the Rams today. We get the Bengals tomorrow. We know the Rams very well because we had them three times this year. We've had them several times over the past couple of seasons. We know them, so we'll see, you know, McVay, and we'll see Stafford and some of the other guys today. And then I think Chris knows Zach Taylor a little bit because he lives in Cincinnati. I've met him once. Don't know Burrow. We'll meet him tomorrow. I think it's important. I think it's great because, you know enough about them from watching them and reading about them, and then you get to talk to them. And I find, you know, the really good stuff that happens is you get a story that hasn't been told before. Going into a Super Bowl, there's so many stories out there. Millions and millions of, you know, words have been written, and so much time has been spent on television and radio talking about it. You want to find something that's a little bit different. So hopefully that's what will happen, and that's why it's very beneficial to meet with the principals.
We always talk about players when they get to the postseason. But as a broadcaster, the amount of postseason games you call, what – changes or how does that prepare you better for the next one you do and the next one you do?
It's, you know what, it's almost like when you're a player, Dan, you know, you do what got you there. So if you go, you know, in a different direction, I know, look, I understand the magnitude of the games and especially the Super Bowl, and people say, you know, 100 million people are watching. You can't think about that. You want to break cleanly. You want to get off to a nice start, get the game going, and very much like the players who talked about, you know, the first time there's contact, couple of plays into the game, they're playing football and we're announcing football. So you don't want to have to think about all the extraneous stuff. Once the game gets underway, you stay within your lane. I mean, Chris and I have done a couple of hundred games together. And if we try to do something different or go outside where we normally would go, why? Why do you want to do that? So hopefully the game starts. We concentrate on the game. The game is close all the way. And all I root for, Dan, is triple overtime. Can't get enough of this.
How aware are you of, I know the point spread, but prop bets?
A little bit. You know, look, I've been the rascal. You know that. I'm the guy who's always talking about a point spread or the over-under, and I've sneaked it in through the years, and a lot of people love it. Now, of course, I can come in the front door because you've got DraftKings and all these other entities that are now involved with the National Football League. You don't overdo it, though. I mean, in terms of prop bets, no, I think that's too inside football. I think a few people are involved in that. I looked at them the other day. I mean, there are 18 million prop bets. So where do you go with that? I think you would be talking to a very small sliver of the audience if you went there.
Well, I didn't know if there was a prop bet if Al Michaels will say the following.
Yes.
And there he goes.
You know, that's interesting. I remember, well, years ago, there was a prop bet, and I think the first game after Deflategate, and I saw it, and it got a lot of play on the internet. And I think the over-under was 2 or 2.5. And I said, let's just get this out of the way. Deflate, you know. So I went right to the over. So, and there he goes. You know, I can be bought, Dan.
Okay.
Not for $100 bottle of wine, but I can be bought.
Okay, steak dinner.
And $100 bottle.
And $100 bottle. Well, yeah, you can't have a steak dinner without $100 bottle of wine.
No.
But do you talk more to Chris prior to the game or less so you save it on the air?
No, you know, we're always, we talk to each other at least a couple of times a week. We have our production meetings with Fred Godelli and Drew Eschikoff. Our producer, director, Michelle Tafoya is working with us. We have Catherine Tappan this week. So we're all kind of interconnected. We talk a lot to each other so that, you know, we know the stories, we share stories with each other, and then we decide how we want to get there. But, I mean, it's going to be like a regular game in that regard. This is the same thing we do during the regular season. As I say, even though this is the Super Bowl and it's a big, big, big deal, we do what we do during the course of the year.
The fascination with Joe Burrow to be doing this in his second year, and like to say he's ahead of schedule is a grand understatement, because even if they're on schedule, you wouldn't think the Bengals would be here. How big a story is that going to be on Sunday for your broadcast?
Well, very. Of course, he's the quarterback of one of the teams, so obviously that becomes a big story right at the outset. But I think what I sensed during the championship game in Kansas City is that a lot of this country either, I don't want to say necessarily fell in love, but were fascinated by what the Bengals did. They're down 21-3. Everybody's thinking, okay, Mahomes is going back to the Super Bowl third year in a row. It's Kansas City against whoever would win the Ram 49er game. And somehow, some way, I just sensed the way they came from behind. You know, for Burrow, nothing looks too big for him. I mean, the way he stepped out of a couple of tackles when it looked like he was going to get sacked, running for first downs, doing what he did that day, winning in overtime, and just his body language and presence. Yeah, you look at a guy, you think, well, this guy's been in the league for 10 or 12 years. But I think the country at that point, unless obviously you're rooting for Kansas City, kind of fell in love a little bit with the Bengals and went, wow, that's pretty cool. So that's the sense I get going into this game. And Burrow, of course, would be at the forefront of all of that.
You remember what you thought when the Rams left Los Angeles?
Yes, I do, because this is my hometown, and I knew that in those years I'm doing Monday Night Football, and every game was going to be a road game now. I wouldn't even get a game in Anaheim. I understood it, though, because the problem in this city and area was that every stadium was a relic. And that's why the Raiders, who had come down here, moved out of the Coliseum. The Rose Bowl was not an NFL type of stadium, a beautiful setting, but not for the NFL. Anaheim Stadium was really a baseball stadium that they turned into a hybrid football stadium. So I understood it. I was not happy about it. But like everything else, these moves, they're money, or, you know, follow the money. It's it's the old cliche about follow the money, and that's what the Rams did. St. Louis gave them a great deal, a much better deal than they had in Anaheim, and away they went, as did the Raiders back to Oakland at that same very same point.
Do you think Tom Brady's retired?
If I had to bet, I would say yes. I know that there's some other things out there after his podcast the other day. I didn't hear it. I read about it. I felt when we did the Rams-Tampa game that that was going to be it. I thought it was like 64-36 that he would retire. He would step away because he gave us an answer in terms of when I asked him before that game about the perfect ending. He said it involves a Super Bowl, might not be this year. And then he kind of went back and forth a lot. So I did think he was going to step away. I wasn't surprised when he stepped away. Now you've got this other thing out there. I would be surprised if he came back. I'm not saying he won't, and I don't have any inside information about this, Dan. But if I had to make a bet, I would say he's not coming back.
But does it work for broadcasters when you're at the top of your game? And, like, you know, how do you walk away? When do you walk away? Who tells you to walk away?
I thought, in broadcasting, if I couldn't do it the way I had to do it and want to do it, and my brain began to leak a little bit, let's put it that way, it would be time to walk away. And I've got some, you know, people who are very, very close to me who would be the first to tell me, as if I wouldn't know myself. For a player, I don't know. I think it's a very hard thing to do, to walk away, because to recreate the buzz you get playing in Super Bowls and doing what Tom did, I mean, he's going to have a really good football afterlife. He's very smart. He's got a lot of things going. He can do any number of things. There's no question about that, and live a wonderful life. I'm not sure you can ever recreate the thrill that an athlete can get when you're playing on the biggest stage that long. I mean, you can do several things in business. You can do things in broadcasting, but I'm not sure you can recreate that thrill. And that's why a lot of coaches sometimes will step away, go into the broadcast booth, and then go back. Because at the end of the day, if you're coaching, you look up at that scoreboard at the end of the game, you know what you did. Did you win? Did you lose? In broadcasting, what are you supposed to do? Go on the internet and find out that everybody loves you or hates you? Forget about it.
Oh, it's great to talk to you, bud. And
as always, Dan, as always, man.
Yeah, have fun. And your 11th Super Bowl, that ties Pat Summerall for the most by TV play-by-play voice. And Michelle Tafoya's last game on the sidelines for you guys, too.
Oh, I just want to say, Michelle, she has been such a great partner. I've done 300 broadcasts with her. Basketball, we did the NBA back in the 2003-04 seasons. Football, she is the best of the best. I'll put her up against any reporter in this country, print or electronic. And you know, Michelle, tons of fun. She keeps us laughing. I'm going to miss her. I'm going to miss her terribly because, I mean, she's just great to be with.
Thank you, bud. Talk to you soon. Thank you, Al.
You bet, man. Take care.
That's Al Michaels.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.